This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
A deal to allow the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement to move forward seemed imminent on Monday, with anonymous sources telling the Associated Press a deal was reached. President Trump told reporters yesterday afternoon there were a lot of strides over the last 24 hours, with unions adding, if they put it up for a vote, it will pass. Fox Business News first reported an agreement between Trump and Mexico, along with House Democrats, and that it could be finalized and ready for action before the House of Representatives adjourns for the year. However, details reportedly still need to be finalized, and implementing legislation must be submitted to Congress. Additionally, the House of Reps will need to schedule a vote on the agreement. The news broke as 158 lawmakers penned a letter to the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, urging her to seize this opportunity to create a win for America. The lawmakers say expanding agricultural exports through the USMCA will help put American agriculture back on its feet. A trade organization says the U.S. trade war with China has cost the U.S. $42 billion since February. Tariffs Hurt the Heartland Monday released the data showing that in October alone, Americans paid a total of $7.2 billion in tariffs, more than any other amount in U.S. history, with $4 billion of that total stemming from the trade war. Americans for Free Trade spokesperson Jonathan Gold says it's time the administration finalizes a deal with China to end the trade war and remove all tariffs. Talks of a Phase 1 agreement continue, which would include agriculture provisions, but new tariffs are planned on China starting December 15th. President Trump last week indicated a final overall agreement could wait until after the 2020 U.S. election. Brian Kuhl, a co-executive director of Farmers for Free Trade, says the 2020 campaign will turn to farm states, adding the president needs to show he can close not just a Phase 1 trade deal, but a comprehensive deal for farmers in rural America. In international livestock news, strong demand from China bolstered U.S. pork exports in October, while October beef exports were below the high totals posted a year ago. Department of Agriculture data compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation shows October pork exports increased 8.5% year over year to 225,300 metric tons, while the export value climbed 10% to $592 million. January through October's export volume was 5% ahead of 2018's pace at 2.13 million metric tons, while value increased 3% to $5.48 billion. Although still burdened by China's retaliatory duties, October pork exports to the China region reached 61,000 metric ton, up 150% since last year, while export value climbed 127% to $141.3 million. Meat Export Federation CEO Dan Hallstrom says China's efforts to rebuild its domestic swine inventories continue, but added there are still excellent opportunities for pork-supplying countries. Meanwhile, October beef exports totaled 108,000 metric tons, with an 8% decline from last year's large volume, while export value of $649.1 million was down 11%. In other national ag news, sign-up is underway for the Conservation Reserve Program, with an additional 5 million or so acres available this time around. Iowa Farm Service Agency Director Amanda DeYoung says it's the first time in several years a general sign-up has been held.
We haven't had a general sign-up since December of 2015, so this will be the first general sign-up in 4 years.
2020 will be the 35th year of the program, which is one of the largest private lands conservation programs in the U.S. The program was originally primarily intended to control soil erosion and potentially stabilize commodity prices by taking marginal lands out of production. She says the process will be competitive.
Folks need to remember, it's been 4 years since we've done one of these. It's a competition on the general sign-up. So there's an environmental benefit index. Producers bid their land into the program, and then, not all applications are always accepted. It is a competition.
CRP has also prevented more than 9 billion tons of soil from eroding. That's enough soil to fill 600 million dump trucks. Reduced nitrogen and phosphorus runoff relative to annually tilled cropland by 95 and 85% respectively, and sequestered an annual average of 49 million tons of greenhouse gas, equal to taking 9 million cars off the road. The sign-up period for most CRP acreage runs through February 28th. In news from around the Midwest, Deere & Company plans to lay off nearly 60 more workers at its Davenport Works plant. The company said Monday that it notified the workers on December 2nd and said the cuts would be effective on January 6th. Deere announced earlier this fall that it was laying off more than 110 workers from the plant. Deere spokesman Ken Golden says the cuts were a result of reduced building activity that is expected to lower sales of equipment. He says each Deere factory must balance its workforce with numbers of customer demand for products from that factory. The Moline, Illinois-based company makes equipment for construction, agriculture, and landscaping. Moving on to state ag news, yesterday the 105th annual meeting of the Illinois Farm Bureau wrapped up in Chicago. Montgomery County Farm Bureau Manager Katie Wilson provided some interviews from the annual meeting yet again this year, and yesterday Katie had a chance to talk with Molly Rosentreter, who currently serves as board member with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau.
I'm Katie Wilson, manager for Montgomery County Farm Bureau, bringing you another update from the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting in Chicago. This time we have a chance to catch up with a delegate from Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Going to visit with Molly Rosentreter. Molly, not the first time we've had the chance to visit, so it's great to see you again. And how are things going for you in Chicago?
Things are going great in Chicago. This is my first year as I'm a new board member on the Macoupin County Farm Bureau board. The first woman ever to be on the board. So pretty excited about that. And we came up to the Chicago conference here, the annual state meeting, and it's going very, very well. It's quite eye-opening to see all of the political involvement and the resolutions that we've been working on today. And we are about to wrap up the meeting, so it's went very well.
I'm glad that you're having a good experience. So is this your first time to the state annual meeting?
Yes, it is. It is my first time here, and it is very eye-opening to see what all Farm Bureau is involved with. I feel that a lot of our constituents out in the countryside don't understand how much we are involved actively in political decisions and encouragements for the agricultural industry.
Farm Bureau touches a lot of different things related to ag, the political involvement, the ag education, and you're going to learn so much about that being a member of Macoupin County Board, so, and a lot from being in Chicago, and it sounds like you're already off to a great start of learning all these new things.
Yes, absolutely, and our board also believes in a lot of these things and does a lot of work with ag education, education in the classroom, and support of agricultural institutions around our county.
All right. Molly, you and your husband farm in Macoupin County, so talk to us a little bit about that operation. How did things go for you this year, and just a little bit about how that's made up and who helps and how many acres and all that stuff.
Yes, my husband and I farm alongside my parents. I was raised in the Dorchester area, and we now farm kind of between Dorchester and south of Carlinville. And our year went about like everybody else's year. The yields were surprisingly decent, not as bad as what we were thinking they were going to be due to the conditions that everybody experienced. I think everybody would gladly say that 2019 just needs to get over with. But, you know, we came out of it, and we've had a lot of good years. And so we need to remember that and look towards the future.
So are you done with harvest? Because that has been like the big question, is if people are done or not yet.
Yes, we're done with harvest. And I feel like a lot of the people in our area, Southern Macoupin, Central Macoupin, are done. So, you know, we can put this one in the books and start hauling our grain and move on towards the future. Hopefully we can. We've been discussing today some USMCA and some agreements that hopefully will get passed here. And hopefully some brighter shinings will come in 2020.
Rosentreter also serves as vice president of the Carlinville FFA alumni, and she talked with Katie about an upcoming event in mid-January.
So you're on the county board, County Farm Bureau board. You farm. You're also involved with the FFA alumni group in Carlinville. I know that has been a pretty successful group, and you've got an upcoming event. So let's hear about that.
Absolutely. I'm very active in the Carlinville FFA alumni. I'm the vice president this year, and we have an excellent, excellent group that I feel very fortunate to be a part of. We have an active group that loves to volunteer our time and help out these kids that we have in the Carlinville FFA. We have done a lot of scholarships this year, as well as taking these kids on career-based field trips. We also send them to the national convention, as well as Washington leaders. We send two kids out to Washington, D.C. every year. We are just very excited about all this. And the way we fund this is by having our annual dinner auction. It's actually a biennial, sorry. Every 2 years, we have a dinner auction in January. This year, it's January 18th at the Carlinville Elks. And tickets are on sale right now. And I'll say that smiling because we had our meeting the other night, our bi-monthly meeting the other night, and a lot of the tickets are starting to get sold already. So you can get tickets up at PJ's in the PJ's Tire Shop in Carlinville, as well as CNB Bank. Go see Matt Slidem and hopefully get your tickets soon. I expect they'll be sold out by Christmas time.
So exciting that you're having such a good response. And if I remember correctly from visiting with you before about this, you accept donations for auction items. Are you looking for those again?
Absolutely. We're always looking for donations for live auction items, for silent auction items, or just monetary donations. So if anybody can give money or give a gift card or an item for us to auction off, that's how we raise a lot of our money for the kids. And we have a very successful banquet. And we're very glad and we're very appreciative to the community for that, because that's how we raise money to support these kids and get them out in the agricultural industry. And that industry is anything from biotech to back on the farm to welding, electrical, anything that is in this very large sphere anymore of STEM or any of these kind of key items that you've been hearing. The ag industry is not just ag. It's mostly vocational. It touches a lot of things, and I do feel that we're really, really helping these kids.
It sounds like you are doing great things in Carlinville and across Macoupin County. Folks listening, if they say, hey, I want to get involved with Carlinville FFA alumni, who should they contact, and what's the best way to do that?
They can contact myself, Kevin Groves, Ann Stilwell, Matt Slidem up at CNB, PJ Rosentrader at PJ. So there's a lot of members. We have a Facebook page. You can contact the Carlinville FFA group itself. Jeff Hammond is the advisor. He comes and meets with us at every meeting. And so there's lots of people that you can contact. We'd love to have you at our meetings, at our involvements. We do a lot of fun things as well. These tours that I was speaking that we go on, that are career-involved tours, we go to CAT, ADM, Monsanto, John Deere. This year we're going to go up to Decatur and tour a couple places in there. So, and the alumni go with the students as well. So it's for everyone. You know, we can all benefit from this interaction.
All right, Molly, thanks so much for your time. I know you've got a meeting to get back into, so I'm not going to keep you any longer. Molly Rosentrader, Macoupin County Farm Bureau board member and delegate at the IA annual meeting in Chicago. For WSMI, I'm Katie Wilson.
And I'd like to thank Katie for doing those interviews again for us this year. Always nice to have her back on the radio on the Farm Show. In one last bulletin board for you for today, don't forget that the Christian County Extension Office will be holding their hands-on pressure cooker workshop this afternoon at the Hopper Auditorium at the Taylorville Memorial Hospital. There'll be two today, actually, one at 2:30 this afternoon and one again at 6 this evening. And that'll wrap it up for this Tuesday morning edition of the Farm Show. But remember, if you have ag news for us, you can email that to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Tuesday morning, December 10th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.